This is the Mormon Expression Podcast. Find us on the web at mormonexpression.com.
Welcome back to another episode of Mormon Expression. I'm your host, John Larson, and we're bringing back our illustrious panel. First of all, from the West Coast, we have George.
Hi, everybody, and good evening.
Broadcasting from the heart of Zion, we have Tom.
Hey, what's up, Utah County?
And coming all the way from Norway, we have Niall.
Greetings.
From the deep, humid south, we have James.
Hey, everybody. Shout out to Shady Acres.
And, of course, I'm broadcasting from the left coast. All right. Tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about Mormonism. The term Mormonism is a surprisingly complicated thing to pin down. What exactly does it mean to be a Mormon? And who controls that term? Who can rightfully claim to be a Mormon? Today we're discussing Mormons, who's in, who's out, and what it all means. I'm going to read you a statement that the church put out back about 2 years ago in 2007 when Big Love first came on the air and the fundies were all in trouble down in southern Utah. And here's one of the key passages that the church released in a press release. The Associated Press style guide tells its reporters the term Mormon is not properly applied to the other churches that resulted from the split after Joseph Smith's death. It should be obvious why the AP has adopted that policy. It is widely understood that the word Mormon refers to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, which sends out Mormon missionaries, sponsors the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, and builds Mormon temples. Associating the term Mormon with polygamist blurs what should be a crystal clear line of distinction between organizations that are entirely separate. First of all, guys, do you think it's a crystal clear separation that it's just being blurred by these rogue reporters?
I don't think so. I think that the LDS Church has always been Mormon, you know, and will always be Mormon, even though the church is trying to distance itself from Mormon, the Mormon Church, whatever. I think it'll always be.
I agree. I remember, this is George, I remember being at a fireside at BYU during the 4th of July week. I think it's called the Freedom Fireside. And I think it was the weekend after this announcement was made. And there was a member of the 70 or Quorum of the 12 speaking at that. And even there a week after, he just kept referring to it as the Mormon Church, the Mormon Church, the Mormon people. And I've not seen that policy implemented very well within the church membership.
Well, you know, and they have a style guide also. I read that. That was from the press release. The style guide says, please avoid the use of Mormon Church. Now, I remember when this came out, there was some head scratching. I know when I grew up, we always called ourselves Mormons. We didn't think anything of it. We didn't consider it a pejorative. And here's the church saying, don't use this term. I think it took a lot of people by surprise.
Yeah, but at the same time, I guess I can kind of understand it. I mean, I guess it sort of sounds derogatory a little bit. I don't know. Personally, I didn't understand the change. I just kind of shrugged my shoulders like, okay, LDS Church, would you want to be, you know, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints instead of the Mormon Church? To me, it doesn't really matter because I don't think, even though they put out that, hey, you got to make sure you call us by the official name, you do that, there's still going to be plenty of people that are going to be like, yeah, and then there's the Mormons or the Mormon Church. I don't think it's changed a whole lot. I think it did a little bit, but not a whole lot.
What? I think they'll always be Mormon, you know, and to try to own that conversation and own that term is a little, I don't know, it's a little arrogant.
Do they claim ownership?
Well, absolutely. If you read their statement, they're saying you can't apply it to anybody. You know, then that would go to even the community of Christ.
So you're supposed to not call them Mormon, and you're not supposed to call anybody else Mormon except them.
Yeah, but if you ask the FLDS, they say they're Mormon too. Well, they say that they're the real Mormons, of course, right?
This is also from the style guide. When referring to people or organizations that practice polygamy, the term Mormons, Mormon fundamentalists, Mormon dissenters, etc. are incorrect. I noticed they left out anti-Mormon, but we'll get to that in a minute. The Associated Press style book notes the term Mormon is not properly applied to the other churches that resulted from the splinter after Joseph Smith's group. That would include all of them, including Community of Christ, the reorganized church.
Well, where does the church Where does the church get the idea that it can decide what other churches can call themselves? I mean, there's many, many kinds of Christian churches. They don't all fight over the term Christian.
Well, you know, I think the genesis of that is why they did all this, which is clear, because the media kept referring to the polygamists as Mormons, and the church does not want that association in the minds of people. I mean, they've spent hundreds of millions of dollars on their ad campaigns dating back to at least the 70s, trying to associate the term, the church and the name of the church with positive things. And suddenly there's all these articles and all this stuff that Warren Jeffs is doing, and it's Mormon, 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 Mormon.
I think they're cutting off their nose to spite their face. To remove the term Mormon from, or at least attempt to try to remove the term Mormon when applied to the LDS church, I think it's disingenuous.
Every faith that accepts the Book of Mormon as the restored Word of God believes in something called Mormon. It's the Book of Mormon, the Waters of Mormon, the Prophet Mormon, whatever. That makes them Mormon. The term was originally applied as an insult back in the day, and so everybody who still fits that insult has, I think, cultural claim to that term. For the LDS church to claim ownership of that, is icky.
Do you really think it was an insult, though? I mean, I've read some of that stuff. I mean, at first they were called Mormonites, and everybody was some sort of ite. And
well, whether it was an insult or not isn't really the point. It's whoever believes in the Book of Mormon. Now, you show me a Mormon church or a Mormon splinter church that rejects the Book of Mormon, then maybe you could make a case that they're not Mormons. But well, if they say, well, yeah, Joseph Smith's a prophet, and yes, the Book of Mormon's are scripture, then heck, you're Mormon.
Well, does the RLDS Church or the Community Christ Church, have they always referred to themselves as Mormons? I mean, and especially since they changed their name to the Community of Christ, of course, I think they have distanced themselves from the Book of Mormon, right?
Well, I think that's clear. However, they still have claim to that.
Yeah.
They could choose to call themselves whatever they want, but they still have claim to that same insult or whatever you want to call it.
Well, for them, it's been a slow burn away from the Book of Mormon. I mean, they've slowly sort of distanced themselves from it and take a much more nuanced view than literalist these days.
Well, on the day that they don't believe it or Joseph Smith, then they would cease to be Mormons. But whenever they keep it or it's even part of their lore, then they're Mormons. It seems pretty clear to me.
Yeah, fair enough.
I just think it's funny that the church wants to distance itself from the name Mormon, but yet there's too many things that it's like what you guys already said, like the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. They're okay with that. It's not going to be the Latter-day Saint Choir or in the Mormon Tabernacle. I mean, there's lots of terms of Mormon, the Mormon Trail, and they're okay with all that, but just when you refer to the church, you got to change the name.
Is part of this just because the name is so clunky, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints?
Clunky?
It is kind of a mouthful. You know, it's very hard to get out. It's... You can't fit it into a blurb, you know, on a in an article headline.
Do you guys remember when they changed the logo, when they enhanced or, you know, brought up the name Jesus Christ bigger than the rest of the font?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When was that? Was it in the early 90s, late 80s? When was that?
It was late 90s, I think. My mission tag still has the regular size Jesus.
So does anybody know whether the church has actually been able to trademark that term? Because you can trademark a term and apply it to your brand, which the church, I mean, legally they do have the right to try and apply for any type of a brand trademark that they would like. But if they've not been able to get that actually issued by the Patent and Trademark Office, then they can't put that on.
I was actually getting ready for that question, and I just pulled up in Wikipedia. It says that the LDS Church has applied for a trademark on Mormon as applied to religious services. However, the United States Patent and Trademark Office rejected the application, stating that the term Mormon was too generic and is popularly understood as referring to a particular kind of church similar to Presbyterian or Methodist.
Yeah, I agree. That just says to me that until they actually get that patent, they don't have the right to tell people what they can and cannot do with that brand.
Now, even if they had the patent, that doesn't give them any right to tell people what they can and can't do.
Well, once they get the patent, if they got a trademark, they would be legally able to do that.
Well, that's ridiculous. What if somebody trademarked the George? Just because it's on some kind of legal paperwork doesn't mean that you're not George.
Yeah, well, they would never be granted the trademark. Plus, I'm the original, so nobody would want to mess with me.
Irrelevant. However they get a trademark, they'll have the trademark. The trademark doesn't really mean anything.
So let's use the one that they probably have got a trademark on. I would imagine that the name, the Church of Jesus Christ, Latter-day Saints, in the trademark image that they have, so that, you know, where the Jesus Christ is large and, you know, the famous trademark image, I would guess they have that trademarked.
Well, now that's interesting, because just a couple years ago, there was the case with Just Add Coffee, a little coffee shop down on Redwood Road in South Salt Lake that had the T-shirt with Moroni and his horn, and there was a hand pouring coffee into the horn, and yeah. The church sent them a cease and desist letter saying that they had a copyright on the angel Moroni. Now the little
figure, right?
All searches by interested parties have not come up with any sort of copyright on the angel, but the little coffee shop stopped and decided they didn't want to take on the big church.
Truth is, I really didn't understand why the church, like John was saying, I really didn't understand why the church made a big deal out of it to begin with. To me, I guess it just didn't make a lot of sense. It was kind of a fight that didn't need to be fought, I thought.
I think the main issue is that the mainstream Mormon church does not want people associating the term Mormon with the Warren Jeffs group. You know, the press release that came out where they, you know, very arrogantly asked the press to stop calling the fundies Mormon, you know, it came as a direct response from all the news that started coming out about Warren Jeffs and the Warren Jeffs group.
Which makes it kind of tough since they're the ones calling themselves Mormons, too.
Exactly.
Right.
Do you think if that was the primary reason for making the change, that the second reason may have been the fact that we wanted to more closely align ourselves with the Christian community and promote the use of the name of Jesus Christ?
No, I think it was pure damage control.
That wouldn't surprise me. I was just wondering if there might have been a second objective.
Now, James, you're saying that the press release was damage control. And I would agree with that. You know, they didn't want their brand tarnished. But at the same time, the enlarging the script for Jesus Christ, I see that as a long-running, at least the last 20 years, emphasis to try to portray the church as more mainstream Christian. And I think that de-emphasis of the term Mormon and emphasis on Jesus Christ clearly shows a pattern that way.
Oh, yeah, certainly. I mean, there is a dual purpose. I'm not saying that there isn't a dual purpose in that, but I think the main motivation for that was to stop the public perception of, you know, the fundies as Mormon.
One interesting little aspect, I don't know if you guys are very familiar with the Strangite Church, but they call themselves, I think they're pretty small now, only a couple hundred participants, if I remember right. But they have. What's that, John?
I said, if that. Yeah, they're just down to a handful.
Yeah, but they still have a website, and it's actually all one word, The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, without the hyphen between Latter-day. And they've actually trademarked that name. So their name is the same, except for the hyphen between Latter-day.
You're right.
Which is interesting.
They have the no hyphen big D, and the Salt Lake branch is left with hyphen little D.
Yep.
Amazing.
Now, we talked a little bit about the sort of copyright laws and the way businesses act, which I think is telling, because if you look at the church's action on this front, they act exactly the way a corporation protecting their brand would you'd expect to act, as opposed
to
a church.
That's because it is a business.
Well, I think that's clear, at least in part, which kind of brings full circle. So when we talk about Mormon, the term gets loosely applied to all sorts of things. I mean, the church serves in several aspects. It serves as a government lobby organization. It serves as a property owner. It owns businesses. It owns insurance companies. It has major stake in banks. It does act as a church. It's a people. So I think that term, part of the problem is that term is diluted because it gets applied to all this stuff together.
For, are you saying that the church functions themselves are just a subsidiary of Mormon Inc.?
Well, no. I think there is a definite Mormon culture and a Mormon people. But for example, when the church is building a mall in downtown Salt Lake City, they're functioning as a business. And there are those who, if you criticize, let's say, their land deal or the kind of stucco you put on the mall, they'll say, oh, you're being anti-Mormon. You're attacking the Mormons, as if you're attacking the Mormon people. And in my mind, there's a clear and distinct difference between the business end of the church and the Mormon culture, you know, doing the road shows in the stake center.
Agreed. And I think the church is actually trying to distance themselves from the business aspects and the religious aspects as well.
So they're using the term, the brand name Mormon, the trademark Mormon, as a club to beat their opponents half to death with?
What? To beat their opponents with?
Well, like with the coffee guy, he took what should have been a historical figure. I mean, if the Mormons really do believe the Book of Mormon, and you know, the Mormons sued him or threatened to sue. They're using the brand name to club anything that they don't like.
I think the church just has a department or certain lawyers that actually watch to try to keep their image clean. So,
well, I mean, who employs?
Actually, it's a for-profit business called Intellectual Reserve Inc.
But
that acts
part of the church. Yeah, if it's taxed, I mean, it's still owned and operated and yada yada by the church. It may be sort of peripheral, but especially where they, I mean, if you criticize their non-churchy parts and they attack you with the anti-Mormon label, then that's clearly using the brand name in a sense to club you into submission.
I guess I wouldn't say that they're clubbing you. I think that, yeah, they're being tactful. Well, maybe not even tactful. Maybe they're being a little forceful as far as they keep things clean to what they perceive is damaging their reputation or their image.
Or their interests.
Or their interest, right. But I can't imagine, I don't know. When you say clubbing, I just imagine general authorities with these big hammers going around hitting people. But
whenever you bring the apparatus of government to bear against something, it's force. If you don't pay the fine, they're going to come and extract it from you forcefully. So if you're threatening to sue somebody for misusing Moroni or the term Mormon or whatever, there's an implied threat there. It's using it to beat them into submission.
A cease and desist letter is a pretty big club.
Well, I think we have to be careful when we say they. I think the church, and we're talking about, you know, the church downtown Salt Lake, the organization, is really careful about throwing around the term anti-Mormon. I know they haven't been real forthright in doing that with people. They haven't been real active in doing that with people who are opposed to the mall. And if we rewind a few years ago, we had the whole lawsuit over the Main Street Center Plaza. Now, if you all remember, the chief party in the lawsuit against the church was the First Unitarian Church in Salt Lake. So the Mormon church really couldn't play the anti-religion card because it was another church who was leading the lawsuit. So I think the church tends to be measured. Now, there's a lot of people out there speaking who are apologists or just yahoos on the internet who will throw the term anti-Mormon for any criticism of the church. But I think there's a distinction there.
Why is there a distinction? Isn't the church just made up of its own members?
Well, I mean, you can't hold the church blamed for every stupid thing that's said out there.
But what if it's endemic?
Well, then this brings us to the question It really seriously for me, there's a difference between the church and the people. So when we say Mormons, we're talking about the people, not the church. The church, we've talked about the church trying to control that, but I don't think the church has as much control over that whole thing as they wish.
Okay, I think I can see that.
And that's both good and bad. If we're trying to decide what a Mormon is, we need to be able to decide what an anti-Mormon is. And there's quite a few people out there, especially on the internet, who are ready to slap that label on anybody who makes the slightest criticism of the church. And where that's problematic is there are many people, and I know that Dr. Bill Hamblin down at BYU has said this several times, who like to equate anti-Mormonism with sort of anti-Semitism or racism, and to try to draw on that repulsion we all feel towards that if you're just criticizing the business church.
I think that comes out of the need to criticize criticism and not necessarily take a hard look at the criticism itself, but instead directly oppose the criticism just because of the fact that it's criticism.
The church absolutely has a vested interest in ending discussion, because any discussion of any sort of rational sense is going to end poorly for them. So anything they can do to end it, kill it, they've got to do that.
With any rational sense? Come on, Niall. I mean, there's plenty of rational things that the church is in agreement with. Not every little rational thing is going to cause controversy inside the church. I don't think they squash everything that just makes common sense that goes against the church's teachings.
Well, the more common sense and the more rationality you've got, the bigger problem the church has.
All right, we'll agree to disagree on that, I guess.
So what does make somebody an anti-Mormon? Do they exist? I mean, I would be ready to label, I was going to say Ed Decker. I was going to label Ed Decker an anti-Mormon, but I think he's coming at it from his Christian views. But, I mean, he's pretty caustic. So who are the anti-Mormons?
Well, there's what? The Tanners, right? Sandra Tanner, and there's Sean McCraney. Isn't he that TV evangelical kind of guy that he's on one of the Utah local stations too, I think.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, the Tanners are usually named.
I have a question. Can you interchangeably use the term Mormon critic and anti-Mormon? I really don't think you can.
I don't think so.
I agree. I don't think you can. I've always looked at the definition of a Mormon critic as somebody who would ask critical questions about problematic issues. But to do it nicely and what I see is good definition of an anti-Mormon is somebody who spends a good majority of their time seeking to destroy and taking things sometimes that are even passing non-truths that they haven't verified and researched or just even made up. It's a hatred.
Well, that's why I think the Tanners and Ed Decker probably qualify as anti-Mormon. I mean, I know in the Tanners bookstore, the majority of their books are actually things that highly criticize the LDS Church and its doctrine and teachings. So in my opinion, I would think that would probably qualify as an anti-Mormon. Now, somebody like who would be another guy, maybe like Lyndon Lamborn. See, I don't know if I would qualify him as an anti-Mormon, and I've read his book. I don't think I would qualify him as an anti-Mormon, even though
What about some of the people who have been given that label by staunch members of the church that you'd kind of wonder about? I'm thinking Fawn Brody, Grant Palmer, folks like that, when you're seen reading their books, people will say, oh, they're that anti-Mormon. Would we consider those types of things, those types of people to be anti-Mormons, or are they LDS critics?
Well, I think any LDS critic, when you're inside the LDS church, is perceived as an anti-Mormon. You know, even someone who isn't necessarily trying to, you know, quote unquote, bring down the church, you know, is perceived as an anti-Mormon. You know, somebody who would merely just criticize the LDS church. Well, you know,
I think of Todd Compton, you know, who wrote In Sacred Loneliness. He's completely active. He doesn't have any real, the book is a history of polygamy, so it doesn't necessarily show the church in a good light, but I've heard him labeled an anti-Mormon several times.
You have?
Oh, yeah. Mostly by people who don't know.
And just by that definition that James just gave, I mean, Grant Palmer would qualify, but I know Grant Palmer, he still attends church faithfully. I know I think he got a church court or something over his book.
Yeah, he was publicly disfellowshipped. I don't think he was ever excommunicated.
Yeah, but he still attends, and I've heard him publicly say multiple times that he actually loves the church. He was just kind of a guy that would like to see a little bit to emphasis on Christ in the church, and that was about it. So I don't know why you'd qualify him as an anti-Mormon when he's, you know, an active person that was just trying to get a little bit of the teachings or doctrine changed a little bit. I don't know why you'd qualify that.
Well, this is where the whole anti gets tricky is, you know, this whole discussion about who is a Mormon and the church's publishing is about it is all about border control, right? They want to draw a line around, say, this is what we are. This is what we stand for. And as those borders, you get closer, they get fuzzy. So you have people who take a more traditional view of Mormonism, and they're willing to call even, you know, things like Sunstone, where you have lots of just liberal Mormons who are tithe paying and temple recommend holding, and there's people who call them anti-Mormons. Yeah, I think there's a strong tendency to just say, you know, we're more Mormon and those guys don't qualify. And I guess my thought now is, what is the genesis of that? Why are Mormons seem to be much more sensitive to making sure that you are towing the line than, say, other American Protestant churches? Why do you think that is?
It's all about ending the discussion. I think every weird little irrational lashing out that the church does is tied to that cause. End the discussion. Stop it. Put it in its place.
Yeah, you know, and I don't want to agree with Niall, but I think I'm going to agree with him a little bit. I think... Don't get a big head, Niall. I think that, think about back in the, 93 with the September 6th. And for some of you that don't know what the September 6th is there were six, intellectuals or authors that got excommunicated or disciplined from the church all in a short time period. And they all claimed that it was from the hierarchy of the church, if I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong, okay, guys. But
right.
I think when that happened, wasn't there a general authority? I want to say it was Dallin H. Oaks who actually gave an Ensign article that basically said the symposium or symposia is bad and you should stay away from it. I mean, I'm obviously oversimplifying it a little bit, but what do you guys recall that with Dallin H. Oaks saying that the Sunstone was kind of a bad thing?
I do. I remember that. And I think at that point they also cut down doing little group meetings and things like that in people's home where you could get together and could talk about church topics. They shut down those happening as well, because I think there was a lot of people that were getting together, and we've heard the term a lot now is just studying yourself out of the church. And I think they wanted to shut down any dissenting point of view. So, you know, as much as I think Niall would take it to say it's 100% thing where they want to stifle everything, I wouldn't say 100, but it's more than 90% of discussion that happens. I think they want to shut down.
Well, I think when that happened, it actually caused a big rift in Sunstone. If I recall right, there was actually some presentations that where Sunstone actually took a dip in membership and participation, and it took them a long time to try to, you know, warm themselves up to the members and for the church itself or the church members to actually think Sunstone is an okay thing. Because as a matter of fact, I remember this was a while ago, but in a Temple Recommend interview when I was asked, you know, do you support or affiliate with anything that's against the church? I said, well, I actually enjoy Sunstone presentations. I do download and listen to some of those. And the bishop kind of looked at me weird. And that was just 3 years ago. So, yeah, the Sunstone still kind of gets a bad rap, I think.
Well, you're right on. And what happened after 93 is before that, a lot of the presenters and speakers at the Sunstone conferences were BYU professors. And after that all stopped. So it became a self-fulfilling prophecy. Is Sunstone veered far to the critical side because the moderate voice was eliminated by the church's order.
So in that extent, I guess I have to agree with Niall that there is a little bit of control from the church. So
now I think most of us react to the sort of control that the church does really negatively. It's something that's really frowned upon in our culture today. But I think it'd be good for us to acknowledge there is a legitimate source in the Mormons' defensiveness. I mean, they have been attacked rather viciously through the years.
But at the same time, that feeling of vulnerability is nurtured and is fed upon.
That's true, but it's partly because, I mean, I have family stories going back to, you know, loss and pain and, you know, houses being burned down and stuff like that. So some of it is nurtured just because it's a cultural thing, as opposed to a big sort of conspiracy, you know, that because they actually were chased out of Missouri, they actually were chased out of Illinois, they actually were chased out of Ohio. Those things really happen.
I think that's very true. There's definitely a cultural component to that, but I think you also need something to continue feeding it. Either that, or it would just wither away and kind of drop from the lexicon. I have a question. Since the term Mormon seems to refer to people, would it be more? Is it possible for someone to be an anti-Mormonist and oppose all the ideas and things that are church related, or I don't know how to put that culture related, without necessarily thinking that Mormons themselves are irrational or evil or anything like that?
Now, Niall, you just said an interesting thing. You said an anti-Mormonist. Is that what you said?
Yeah. Is it possible to be an anti-Mormonist where you oppose things cultural or religious that are Mormon?
Well,
and not people?
Why would you oppose the culture? That seems kind of weird to me. I mean, I can't. If you said it in the reverse, say, you know, I like people who live in Kentucky, but I sure hate their culture. That sort of sounds kind of racist.
Well, every time you criticize something about the church, you're criticizing a specific point to the culture. So, take for instance, if you don't appreciate how they treat sexual members, you're in essence rejecting that piece of the culture. You're being an anti-Mormonist without being an anti-Mormon. You're not criticizing a particular people, but you are criticizing this idea that homosexuals are inferior or flawed or whatever.
Well, I think there comes a point where those two are really hard to separate, where you're criticizing the people versus the culture versus, I think if you take the business operation of the church, that's easier to parse out. But when you start doing, say, a lot of ex-Mormons like to criticize things like Jell-O or, you know, church basketball or things like that, that's starting to get close to being a little bit, for lack of a better term, racist.
Well, here's where the idea sort of comes from. It's not a danger in making your beliefs part of who you are. It seems to me that beliefs should exist outside of your own self-identification as much as you can. I mean, we're human. We always have a problem with that. But if you believe the world is flat with no good reason or good reason, and somebody comes up and criticizes your belief that the world is flat, you take that as a personal affront when it shouldn't be. It should be an external idea.
But what you're expressing is a thoroughly modern idea. I mean, the idea that we could separate our religion from our culture, from our identity, is something that's only been possible, since the Enlightenment. And for most of us, maybe in the last 40 or 50 years, and for most probably people in the world, they still can't do it without risking violence.
But somebody who does that, is he anti-Mormon or an anti-Mormonist?
I don't know. What's the motivation, you know?
Is it relevant? I suppose if you do it to hurt a person or who you think is a person, then yeah, that would be anti-Mormon because you're trying to hurt the person. But if you're only trying to sort of disprove or call into question deeply flawed ideas, like there's a lot of them in Mormonism, then why is that necessarily an attack on a person?
I like where you're going because I think it goes to the very heart of what it means to be Mormon and what it means to be anti-Mormon. I guess the question is, for those criticizing the church, what's their end game? What do they hope to accomplish?
Right. And this discussion and what Niall was just saying, it takes me back, way back to Mormon Expression podcast number 2, if you guys can recall that, with Shades. When I asked him whether he considered himself an anti-Mormon or not, and he said, well, I don't think I'm anti-Mormon. I'm anti-Mormonism. I thought that was a good clarification when he said, it's not the people that I don't like. I actually love the people, and the people are good. It's the doctrines or the teachings or the stuff like that he has a problem with. And to me, this whole, you know, classifying certain people, wanting to label or categorize certain things, it's all for naught. To me, most people don't like to be categorized. Like me, for example, I don't like to be categorized, but you know, if you have to slot me somewhere, I guess I'll take my spot wherever, you know, but I don't know.
Is the act of categorizing people and putting labels on them, is that an area of judgmentalism? If you want to pigeonhole and put people into various categories, you want to do it and you want to give them a label. And the more judgmental the population, the more that you want to put them and give them a label of some sort.
It's definitely
a human tendency to go ahead and do that, because it's easier to, you know, not, you know, have a very complicated explanation for things. It's easier to say, okay, you fit in this category and this other person fits in another category. I think it's human nature. Now, whether it's something healthy to do or not is definitely a good question.
I think that there's some labels and some categories that are necessary, you know, like when you fill out an application, are you black, white, Hispanic, or whatever? I mean, there, I guess there's guys like Tiger Woods, it's like, Asian, black, which one do I pick? But I think, you know, for the most part, these where categories and labels get down to the nitpicky of like your beliefs, I think it gets too sticky, because beliefs change and people's thoughts and beliefs and heart change on a regular basis, you know, so there's always transitions happening. So to me, categorizing and labeling people isn't always productive.
Yeah, I remember the first time that I started getting some of these terms and definitions under my belt, I was having a chat with my wife, and I said, "You're a TBM." And she says, "I'm a what?" and that was really offensive to her. And I had to go, you know, we had to really have a long talk and say, you know, okay, maybe TBM, True Believing Mormon, isn't a very good definition, because it does have a ring of, I don't know, a very judgmental term to it. It says, you know, no matter what, you're just a sheep willing to follow anything that you're told.
Now, I have a question for you, George and Tom. You two both self-identify as NOMS, which is New Order Mormon, which is kind of a liberal view of Mormonism. Mormonism on the edge, kind of out, kind of in. But you can correct my strange definition. But I'd like to hear why you that group chooses to call themselves NOMS as opposed to just calling themselves Mormons.
I don't really understand what the whole definition of New Order Mormon. I classify myself that way sometimes because I feel like I have to. I don't want to be classified that. I mean, for anybody else's purpose, I feel like I'm a Mormon. I'm an active, going, calling, participating Mormon. So yeah, John, I don't like to be classified NOM. I don't like to be classified really anything. I just like to be classified as Mormon if I have to be, but I
don't mind it. This is George. I actually would have a different take on it than Tom does. I actually like some of those terms. I don't know if I like the term New Order Mormon as much as I do Cultural Mormon, Cafeteria Mormon. There's that popular sense in the church that says it's 100% right or it's 100% wrong. I think the sense that I have of a Cafeteria Cultural Mormon or a New Order Mormon is they throw that concept out the window and say, I'm still going to believe in it, but some percentage less than 100. Now, whether that's 99 or whether that's 50 or whether that's 40, it's not 100%. And that's a very loose definition that I've come up with that says, you know, it's not all the way in, but it's not all the way out. And that's why I like that kind of title.
And this classification stuff, I mean, there's a guy, Ward, really cool guy, older guy. And he's told me multiple times, like, the only reason why I even come to church is because I got nothing else to do on Sunday. I don't really buy into the church too much. I think it's great. I have some good friends here or whatever, but I come because I got nothing better to do. What would you classify him? A Jack, active, TBM? You know, it's, I don't know. To me, I guess people would label me as NOM, but I would prefer to not be labeled anything, just Mormon, I guess.
I think, truth be told, there's a lot more people like you two in the church than everybody lets on. I mean, because I was like you in the church for several years, but the one thing that's changed now is the internet lets you connect with each other, where before, sometimes people just suffered in silence, you know. And frankly, I'd guess it's 40%, maybe even 80% if you think people who reject some part of the doctrine, some part of the culture, but the tendency is just to keep your mouth shut in the church. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but that's just the way it operates.
I think, Mormonism, you know, the act of participating in Mormonism is so passive that there is no, you know, open dialogue, you know, when it really comes down to it. And there that, you know, act of towing the party line is encouraged actively. And there is no kind of back and forth. There is no dialogue. There is no discussion. You know, there is no way of really saying that, you know, the person sitting next to you in Sunday school, you know, doesn't buy into, you know, some certain section of doctrine.
I also think the large majority of members or Mormons that stop attending or leave the church, well, maybe not a large majority. I don't know what the majority would be, honestly, but I think there's a good amount of people that when they leave the church, they don't leave it for doctrinal reasons. They just leave it because they'd rather go, you know, snowboarding on Sunday, and they feel like the religion's just kind of being a little bit too suffocating, and they like their Sundays. They like to not have to feel guilt about whatever things they're going to do, and they like
I disagree with that.
You would disagree?
Yeah, I didn't leave the church because I wanted to not go to church. I left because of, you know, its racist doctrine and its you know where should I begin?
Well, no, you know, I actually understand where you're coming from, but for me, because I know quite a few people like this, where when I told them about some of my disagreements with the church, they're kind of like, why do you even care? I mean, the church is the church, you know. You go or you don't. You know, why does it matter? I like to go boating on Sunday. I really don't care. I just don't let the church have that much control over my life. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, so I guess I'm like the only guy that took the church that seriously. I guess I was the idiot, you know.
I don't think you can pigeonhole why people leave the church, you know, for one specific reason. Everybody has their reasons for leaving, you know, and you can't really say, you know, this is the main reason why people leave the church. But I do know what you're saying.
People leave the church because I think there is one reason. It's not doing it for them. Now, what it's not doing for them might change, but I think not doing it for them kind of covers everybody.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think, James, you're talking about people who, like, leave, people who resign, and they tend to have big reasons. And I think, Tom, you're talking about that 50 to 60% of people on the rolls who just don't show up. And I think there's a lot of people that it's just not working. It's not necessarily they want to go sin, although there are some people who want to sin, but there's people who sin in the church too. But it just ain't doing it for them.
Well, see, there's a large majority of Mormons that think that what we're doing with this podcast is absolutely silly. I mean, they're like, why do you even care? I mean, you know, it's the Mormon church is not a big deal. You know, you just take it for what it is and you leave for whatever reason you want. And it's a religion, you know, you believe when you want. It works for weddings, funerals, and whatever else. But to me, that's why I feel like I'm the rare seed, that I'm the only guy, at least. I mean, obviously I don't feel this way with you guys, but, you know, around where I'm at, I actually do feel like I'm quite alone in the way I've felt and the way I think about things, because I took it too seriously and everybody just kind of looks at me like, what? You're weird, dude. What's the problem?
That's one of the criticisms that apologists will hurl at people sometimes, that you're taking it too seriously.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody but an apologist. I mean, apologists take it more seriously than I've ever met anybody in my life. I mean, the apologists and the anti almost fit into two ends of the spectrum, right? And they just have different agendas. And for an apologist to ever come out and say, you take it too serious, man, I'd say, hey, have you read any of your own material? That's a bizarre thing for an apologist to say.
You say they're opposite ends of the spectrum. I think they're more kissing cousins because, you know, you take the critics who will, like, lambast the church for, say, something like evolution. Well, so will the apologists. There's the, like, the mainstream, and this goes back to some of Shade's points on podcast number two. You know, there's the people sitting in the pews, but actually the critics and the apologists tend to be on the same page quite a bit of time, meaning they don't take the church at face value.
You know, with the Shades podcast, you know, the reason why it kind of bothered me a little bit was because I consider myself an internet Mormon, but I don't, you know, I resist that because I'm like, I don't want to be categorized that way. You know, I like to take things a little more figurative than I did literal, and that's the way I make things work in the church now. And to me, I felt like Shades was saying, hey, you know, you're an internet Mormon. You're not what true Mormonism is. And to me, that's why I kind of felt a little defensive about it.
But what is true? And what is true Mormonism? You know, I think is the point of this podcast. You know, I don't think you can say that there is an ideal Mormonism. I think there's just, you know, different flavors of it.
Yeah, I think, you know, to maybe start kind of wrapping this thing up, and I really liked what you've been saying, Tom, because part of the genesis of this podcast was my own struggle with what I am. I mean, I obviously I've rejected all the metaphysical claims of the church. But I still feel attached to the culture, and I don't know for sure if I can call myself a Mormon or not. You know, and sometimes you get the question, you know, I'll have, at work, I have, my degree hanging on the wall from Weber State University. And the other day we had some repairmen coming through, and one of the guys saw that and he said, oh, you're from Utah. And I said, yeah, I was from Utah. And then he said, you're a Mormon, right? And so I said,
yeah, what did you say, John? I'm anxious to hear.
Because I was taken aback by that, he was about a 22-year-old kid, you know, with his work belt strapped around his waist, and he was in my office. I just said no. Normally when people ask, I say I was raised a Mormon because I don't have a good answer. I don't know for sure if I'm a cultural Mormon or not. And part of it goes to where we started, with the church and the business end so defensive and so controlling about what is Mormon and what's not. I don't want to be associated with that. But when it comes to my aunts and my uncles and my grandparents and my ancestors and the fight and struggle that they went through, I'm fine associated with that. I'm even fine being associated with the culture. Hey, I'll eat the Jell-O with the carrots in it. That's good. I like funeral potatoes. I don't have any problem with the Mormon culture. It's the heavy-handed practice of the church that start getting me off.
If you're raised in the church and your family was raised in the church and it goes back for quite a way, and you're still surrounded by it and it's still part of the way, or the way that you're put together, I think you're still Mormon. I still consider myself Mormon, even though I'm not a member of the church at all.
I would still consider myself culturally Mormon, and I know that sounds weird coming from me, but you know, I still consider myself culturally Mormon because, you know, that's what I was steeped in when I was a kid. You can't, I don't think I can separate myself from that. You know, no matter how hard I try.
So how many terms are there? There's cultural, there's cafeteria, there's new order, there's non-believing. I called myself a non-fully believing Mormon to a friend of mine the other day. And she kind of followed in with that. And she goes, oh, that's about how Jewish I am. So, I mean, she got that right off the bat. What are some of the other terms that people would use? I mean, there's Jack Mormon still out there. I've heard that since I was a little kid. I don't even know what that means anymore, though.
Jack Mormons are more like the people who kind of believe but just go and drink anyway. They're more like practice as opposed to belief. I mean, yeah. In the original days, it meant something different, but I think that's what it means now. Yeah, but you're right. There's a lot of different terms, a lot of different, you know, who knows? And maybe that's the problem. We're trying to put too many labels on stuff.
Well, a lot of it goes back to what Tom's saying. He doesn't want there to be labels at all. I mean, for me, they work. I kind of like knowing. I remember when I discovered the NOM site, and my wife was gone for a couple of days, and I just ate it up. I was probably on there 20 hours a day, and it just it was an epiphany for me. And then I came home, and I was able to say, guess what I am? And I was it was just like, oh, look at me. I'm not alone in the universe. And so I liked it. I thought it was a pretty cool thing. But there's lots of terms. The anti one is the most interesting one for me to figure out who wants to be that.
And I guess my point is people are always changing. I mean, beliefs are changing. And that's why I don't like people being slotted one way or another, because, I mean, you might be one way and then the next year you might be something completely different.
So what would you call the people who stand outside of the conference center at conference?
Nuts.
Now, are those people going into the building or standing out of it with the signs? Who are the nuts?
Well, you know, those people are all motivated by their Christian stuff. I have not heard of or know of any secularist who's out there with a sign, which is funny because they put josephlied.com, which is Mike Norton's website, but he doesn't do it himself. Those are all still usually really fundamentalist right-wing Christians out there.
So James hasn't been out there? I swear I saw him one time. I'm just kidding.
Totally kidding. That was me with the garments flying. You know. No. That kind of behavior is appalling. You know, and it's very, you know, counterproductive.
Don't words and vocabulary change meaning depending on context?
Sure.
So if you don't want someone to think that you're an actual member of the church, you wouldn't claim the term Mormon. But if you want people to know your heritage, then you would claim the term Mormon. And it would just change depending on the question and the time, it seems.
So you, Niall, I mean, when someone asks you, are you a Mormon, do you say yes? Do you say no?
See, that's what made me think about that, because in some cases I'd say yes, in some cases I would say no. If a Mormon asked me if I was Mormon, I would probably say no. But if someone from outside the state, like in Norway or something, you know, are you Mormon, I'd say yes.
I'm telling you, the best answer is I was born one. That immediately tips everybody off. They understand what that means.
Yeah.
But you see, that implies like you grew up and then you grew out of it. Like when you were old enough to, like you sort of thought it was silly. I didn't leave the church until I was 30, and a part of me hasn't left the church. I don't want to say I was born Mormon because it makes it sound like I never believed it.
Hmm. Yeah. I've talked to a lot of non-practicing just about every religion, and most of them don't understand what we went through when we left the church. The only ones who come close are some. That I've met are some Baptists and some Catholics, but most people don't understand.
What don't they understand when you say I was born one?
Well, for a lot of Protestants and even a lot of Catholics, depending on how they grew up, religion was not so intertwined with their identity as it was Mormonism. And this goes where I think we're heading back to where we need to be, to the main title, which is what does it mean to be a Mormon? It meant everything. Mormonism was everywhere. It colored everything, all your relationships, how you dated girls, what you did on Saturday night, where you went on Tuesday night, just everything. And it was so ingrained with identity that to leave that behind for reasons of conscience or reasons of philosophical difference or whatever, it's very, very difficult to pull out all those little pieces.
But yeah, I know exactly what you mean. You know, I tell people, you know, that or people ask, about what was it like growing up Mormon? And they're like, I tell them, well, I left the church, and they really don't get what that means, you know, to people who do leave Mormonism, especially people who left recently. And because they say, oh yeah, people, you know, grow up in Catholicism and leave all the time. And you kind of have to stop and say, no, it's a lot different, because if you grow up in the church and you go on a mission and you participate, you know, actively in Mormonism for most of your life and then leave, you know, it's not like you're just kind of saying, oh, I don't go to church on Sunday anymore. You know, it's a major part of your life that you're flipping, you know, into different actions and behaviors.
All right, guys, I think that's been a great discussion. I think we've ranged over the question of Mormonism and anti-Mormonism and everything in between. And I don't know that I'm any clearer than when I started, but it's been a great journey, at least.
Thanks. So you haven't learned anything?
maybe a little bit. Did you learn anything?
Yeah, I did, actually. I thought that was pretty good.
I'm not a
copyright lawyer.
Yeah, I learned all about copyright law, and I learned that Tom doesn't like labels.
There you go.
All right. Thanks again to the panel.
Thank you.
Thanks for another one.
Okay, remember, the discussion continues at mormonexpression.com. Check out the blog there for links to the information discussed and to continue the discussion. You can call and leave a message for the podcast, and we'll play it right here on the air at 801-906-6722, or you can email us with your comments or audio for future podcasts at mail@mormonexpression.com. Our music is provided by Kevin McLeod at incompetech.com.
You're not trying hard enough, Tom. Come on, be meaner.
Yeah, I should try harder. You got to push my buttons more, James.